here.
Baltimore Ravens with a 41-31 win, wrapping up week 7 in the National Football League. Ed Norris, looking at week 7, what was good?
It was a lot of good. I'm just going to focus on one. I'm just going to do the Eagles pass rush was awesome. I'm going to go with Jahmyr Gibbs, though. He just, you know, Montgomery looked great with the Lions. Gibbs played, and it's like, I forget how good he is. He had a big day, 116 yards on the ground in 15 attempts, two touchdowns, like 7.7 yards a carry. But watching him, the eye test is amazing. He is so quick. He cuts without slowing down. He's just, I don't know what they do in Alabama. But they do produce a lot of good running backs, man. You got, now, right now, you have Najee Harris. You have, obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs, Derrick Henry, Brian Robinson of the Commanders.
Yeah, Mark Clayton.
Sean Alexander. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it goes on and on with these guys. Trent Richardson was the only, he was like the most promising, ended up being a bit of a
loss.
Well,
he was good. He just couldn't find a hole.
Well, he found all the defenders. He was a linebacker magnet. But anyway, other than that, they do produce some amazing running backs down there, and Gibbs is another one. And people always, you know, everybody made a face when they pick him number, you know, 12 overall. Why would you pick a running back that high? I see why now.
Mike Preston was bad.
The bad were all the penalties last night. 17 for 170 yards. The Bucs had 8 for 75. The Ravens 9 for 95. And, you know, you thought you had gotten past the stage with the Ravens because that's probably one of their problems this season. They have these penalties, then they stop it for a little while, but then you saw it again last night. Can't continue that way, especially when you get to the postseason and these teams are better and everybody's peaking at the same time. You have to cut back on the penalties, and it made for a boring game at times because every time there was a big play, you waited to hear or you looked for a flag to see what was going to happen or how it was going to be nullified. So the officials, you can call holding on every play if you want. I mean, that's just the way it is. But if it's away from the play, don't call it. Just let it go and let the game get in a flow. And that's my bad.
Yeah, my ugly Cleveland Browns. Not only did they cheer when Deshaun Watson laid on the turf, there's a video, an audio of them chanting, "You deserve it."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look, YouTube it. And their cornerback, Greg Newsome, had this to say.
Oh, yeah, no, that was bullshit. Yeah, I noticed it right away. No matter what you feel about a player, performance-wise or not, you don't boo a guy that's down, that can't get up by himself. So, yeah, that was bullshit. So any fan that said anything, it's bullshit. That's simple. Like, you don't do that. Like I said, whether the guy's playing well or not, whether you're a fan favorite, whether you're anything, you don't boo a guy that's sitting down. So,
if someone had the nerve to tweet or call into a show saying it was about the man, not the player. Man, shut up. You honestly gonna justify your actions crap like that? Man, shut up. Seriously. There's some self-righteous individuals. I'm going to tell you how people are so hypocritical. And I know this is a different topic. I saw a man with his veteran's hat on and proud this and proud that, doing a national anthem with his hat on. Wait a minute. Why's your hat on, sir? People are so self-righteous in judging what you do. Mm-hmm. They're so concerned about what you do, they don't check themselves.
Yeah.
These are the same fans that will get on players for not being showing sportsmanship and things like that, but then to get out and cheer players' injury or chant, "You deserve it." Shut up. Stop being, you know, try to justify your crap.
Mm-hmm. People contradict themselves too.
So much.
Very hypocritical.
So much.
You know, it just, you know, I remember even during the COVID, if you remember, you know, people and just see all the guys, you know, America, love it. Do what they say. Listen, did you get the vaccine? No, I don't trust the government.
Okay. It's compartmentalized beliefs. You know what I mean? You're selecting what you want to be offended by. I'm offended by that part of it. What about the other part? Nah, not that part of it. Just that part.
What was Chris Rock special? Selective outrage.
It's unreal, man. You sat there and cheered because a man was injured. I wonder how many people booed when he scored a touchdown. How many Browns fans did that? Were they booing him when he orchestrated a come from behind win here in Baltimore last year? Did they boo him then? Did they refuse to watch that?
They should be booing the owner.
Exactly.
You know what his guaranteed salary is the next 2 years? It's $46 million each year. Boo him.
You know, what I heard was the coaching staff wanted them to keep Joe Flacco there.
Really?
And the owner, because it's a business.
He paid for it.
He invested in that guy. Yep. He wanted him to be the starter, so they let Joe walk. That ticked off a lot of people in Cleveland.
I bet.
Yeah.
He'd be ticked off all they want. I'm paying this guy.
It's a business decision.
Yes.
It's a business.
I'm sorry. I'm paying this dude. I signed him. I'm paying him. Mm-hmm. You guys got to get over it. Build a bridge.
No, they did.
Look, man, that's like Nate Wiggins. And people say, oh, like he's skinny, small, whatever. And I'm like, he's a first-round pick. He's going to play.
He's going to play.
He's going to get out there on the field because he's a first-round pick. All right? They're paying him. He's going to play.
Mike, you played college ball on the level where they gave out scholarships. You had some starter who you're giving a full ride to and a walk-on who was only just as good as him. Who's going to play? The scholarship guy, right?
Yes. It ain't even close.
It ain't close. Why? Because I'm paying for this guy to go to school.
It's all about the money.
I'm paying for this. If the walk-on is just as good, that's fine, son. Go play someplace else and wait your turn. You got to be that much better.
Right.
You can't be just as good. No. It's a business decision. And people don't understand that. Only people who don't understand that is people who never have to invest that kind of money in things. When you do, you get it.
Right.
410-583-1057, more fan reaction at 8:30. But on the other side, taking a look at Lamar Jackson's performance last night on Monday Night Football, up next on The Fan.
Jackson's going to get it.
Two.
Jackson throws.
Three.
Deep ball.
One.
Touchdown, Baltimore.
How did Baltimore's top single caller perform?
Toss to Henry, bends it back. Here he goes again. Jets are on. Did he stay in? No, he stepped out. Got a good block from Lamar Jackson just getting out in front of it. And Derrick Henry, after an 81-yarder earlier, goes for 39 here.
You know, he made a move, cut back cross field. I'm just trying to get him in the end zone. So it's like, I got you. Like, I see this guy, 24, see 31. I thought he was past me with 31. I would have kept blocking him, but he got a lot of yards.
He got a lot of yards. That's Lamar Jackson after last night's performance, in which he completed 77% of his passes, 17 for 22, 281, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a passer rating of 158.1. A perfect passer rating is 158.3. And he was, plus, oh, I'm sorry, 9 carries, 52 yards rushing as well.
Yeah.
And a touchdown called back on the ground.
Which was a touchdown. Yeah, that absolutely. He was spectacular. He said he 5 touchdowns in the air. He had 1 rushing touchdown call back, which was, to me, clearly a touchdown. It was a holding. But that aside, he just had a great night. He said, perfect. I don't know what he did to knock 2/10 of a point off from his perfect rating. But
Ricard dropped the pass.
That was it? Really?
Hey, get Ricard in the offense. Get him involved in the offense.
Yeah, but if he catches that pass, he's gone.
But the problem is, he ain't catching the pass.
He didn't catch the pass.
Yeah, he has, though. He's stolen.
Yeah, he has done that. But, I mean, use your weapons, man. If that works, go for it. But apparently it didn't work, so
that is the difference in the perfect passer rate and not.
But anyway, he was spectacular. He really was just spectacular. And I hate this locked-in stuff because everybody says it. He is locked in. He's very focused right now.
For $50 million a year, if I got $50 million a year, I lock myself in this studio right here, okay? I would.
Deshaun Watson got it. He didn't lock in.
Yeah, but he has some other issues. Yeah. Off the field.
Yeah. Yeah. He does have some other issues. like right now, injuries. But, you know, looking at Lamar, he's putting together yet another MVP-type season. Mike Preston, we know he's going for it. He wants a Super Bowl badly. We all want him to get that Super Bowl badly. But he's proven once again, I think someone said yesterday on the ESPN pregame show, you can talk about who the best quarterback in the league is. You can put everybody in the National Football League on one field, Lamar Jackson's the best football player in the league.
No, I don't know about that.
Who?
I don't
who was better?
I don't make those type of... There are a lot of great players in the National Football League. Tyreek Hill was a very good football player. Just plays for a terrible football team right now. Patrick Mahomes has won four Super Bowl trophies. That's pretty impressive, and he's going for a three-peat. There are a lot of great players, so I don't get into that. He is the best. He's greatest. He's doing a very good job and playing extremely well, and I'll leave it at that. If they want to make those judgments, that's fine, but me... There's a whole bunch of great players. This is the National Football League, man. There are a lot of... It's like saying, who's better, Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan.
I don't know.
Jordan.
I just like
Jordan.
I just like to be in the comparison.
And that's my point. I will make that statement. And I think he's the best football player in the National Football League. I'll make that statement.
I've said a couple of years. Mahomes may be the best quarterback. Yes. Lamar's the best football player to me. But.
So they can get into it all they want. He's playing very well. And you know, and Todd Monken... When they started blitzing him, he started moving him. And I'm like, okay, last year you didn't see that as quickly. Now you see them responding where he rolls out, he throws the touchdown pass, where he just runs a guy around the corner. I'm like, that's coaching. That's a good football move. They got a rhythm. They're in sync right now offensively. They're in sync. Defensively, they still got some problems.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. They have some problems, no doubt about it, defensively. The problems that they need to clean up. I just don't know whether they can clean up. And because of that, Ed Norris, Lamar, and the offense better continue to put up video game like numbers.
Going to have to. I hate to say that. You know, they remind me of teams like, you know, the Chargers were years ago when they were putting up 1 million points a game and all kinds of yardage. Gave up a lot, though. And sometimes you get these teams with it's rare you get them together for some reason. You get an opposing defense and an incredible offense. Mm-hmm. But right now, and I don't think anybody's used to it in this town, they've got the best offense in football. And that's not me. That was NFL.com put that out.
Yeah.
They're on fire. They really are. They got so much talent now, and they're playing well, and they're playing at a different level. But I tell you, that 21 point surrender in the fourth quarter still bothers me yesterday.
It should. Man, that was horrible. It's almost as if they just thought the game was over, Mike, and start packing up the speakers and wires and putting the guitar in the case.
Yeah, they got to be careful with that. And you could see it on Lamar's face when he got within 10 points, 11 points. You could see him on the sideline like, oh, no, here we go again. We're starting to slip and let these guys back in the game. That can't happen. You got to just... put the pedal to the metal and just get it done. And the Ravens, for some reason, they struggle with that.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore Ravens now tied for first place in the AFC North along with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Ravens at 5-2, 1-1 in the division, and you know, looking to improve their situation for the playoff run. This team has played some really good football lately, Ed. They're winners of 5 in a row. Actually, 1-0. I'm sorry, 1-0 in the division. The only divisional game they had was against the Bengals. They're putting themselves in position real well to try to get at least a home field game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they look right now. I don't care what the Chiefs' record is right now. They look like the best team in the NFL. Certainly AFC. I think the only people that can beat them are themselves. Boneheaded moves, giving up, you know, in the fourth quarter, giving a lot of points, giving up leads, stupid penalties, things like that. But other than that, this team's loaded.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Gonna have to look at the AFC North report at 8:45. But on the other side, we know you are waiting to get in, and we're gonna let you in. Fan reaction up next on the Fan.
It's time for your takeaways. Call or text 410-583-1057.
Taking your phone calls at 8:31 in the a.m., 410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's go to Glen Burnie and get Tim. What's up, Tim?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too.
Good. So with the injury to Marlon, Wiggins looked like he got a little bit banged up. He recovered. Marcus Williams, as we all know, seems to be non-existent, not even relevant at this point. I was wondering if you guys think that the trade acquisition, like the deadline, if the focus needs to be someone in the secondary as opposed to, you know, the edge, or some people even think offensive line. I just think it has to be someone in the secondary.
I'm with you. I agree wholeheartedly. If you asked me my Christmas list for additions, it would be somebody in that secondary. That to me, Ed, is the biggest need that this team has right now.
Which is, I agree, but it's odd because at least I had the opinion going into the season that was going to be the strongest unit on the field. I thought you had the best safety tandem in football. I thought you had solid cornerback play. I was like, I'm stunned, actually, to see how porous they've been. And they just look confused. I said they're out of, you know, just out of position. I thought they'd have a tough time with Mike Evans because he's a physical mismatch for most people, but certainly for our guys. You know, 6'5", giant wingspan, you know, tough to guard no matter what. I didn't expect it to be that open. That's a different story. I thought it would be contested catches that he'd be winning. That guy's way out of place. So.
Oh, man, that one in the first touchdown he caught, were they in a zone? I think the Ravens looked like they were in a zone. But
they mentioned it several times yesterday. Troy Aikman did. He said they played a lot of zone.
I mean, he fell down, still threw the ball, still wide open. That can't happen. They still can't cover a running back out of the backfield. And we saw that in Kansas City the first game. And they still have problems. The last touchdown they scored, just threw it into the flat. Guy ran for a touchdown. This is bizarre. I've seen this throughout the league. That's the emphasis seems to be on offense and not on defense, but they got to get better. I mean, they got the same personnel as a year ago when they had the best defense in the NFL. It's basically the same group except for Patrick Queen.
Mike, when did 7-on-7 become so prominent in high school? About 10 years ago?
Yep.
And does that seem weird that it coincides with the interior offensive and defensive linemen falling off a little bit, linebacker play falling off? It became we put so much focus on the passing game that you stop developing the other game, other parts of the game. You can go all year almost in 7-on-7, but what are those other guys doing while you're doing 7-on-7?
Watching them do 7-on-7.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's something to me. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. This is not me dogging, because I love, I'll go watch some 7-on-7 tournaments. They are exciting. But it makes you wonder if the other parts of the game are falling behind because you're developing the passing game so much.
Might be. Something to look at. That's for sure.
Let's go to Rice's down and get Kai. What's up, Kai?
What's up, Mike? Ed, Rob, what's up, fellas?
Good morning.
Hey, look, 32, Williams always having communication problems back there. Sometimes I try to ask myself what the Ravens seen in him. No instincts. He don't want to tackle. Last year he tried to tackle one arm. Now he got both arms. He don't want to tackle. Roquan, to me, he's solid in the run game, but I think he's been exposed lately in the pass game, and I think he's trying to do too much. And I think he might be missing Patrick Queen, to be honest with you, because he got to cover. Like you said, he can't cover coming out the backfield. But I like the O-line, what the O-line did. McCurry,
Have you seen Patrick Queen lately?
No, I
exactly.
haven't seen him lately.
Neither have Steeler fans.
And I think the O-line, Rob, real quick, the O-line, McCurry, he whipped on a couple plays. Falele was beat inside. But Stanley, man, we was talking about Stanley for years, Mike. Look, Stanley has played solid, and especially when he pulls now. He gets low, and he gets that low center of gravity, and he gets physical, man. I like Stanley. But do you guys agree with me that Roquan trying to do a little too much? And because he has to, because of that safety, what we just spoke about, man.
I mean, he is doing too much. He's doing everything. He's at 18 tackles.
Yeah, that's not. He's doing too much. I don't think that's his fault. That's because others aren't, or maybe he's not. I'm going to stand on this until somebody proves me wrong. I don't think the scheme is helping him out a whole lot, to be honest.
And as far as his play, I think Trent Simpson's a step up from Patrick Queen. He's faster. He's better in pass coverage. I don't think anything's wrong with those two.
I think Roquan has been victimized in pass defense. And I think teams are scheming that up. In Kansas City, they ran those crossing patterns, and he can't run with those guys.
Simpson can.
You can't do that. And the Ravens need to do a better job of matching up with the speed guy on the outside, because that's not Roquan's thing.
That's his job.
You know, yeah, he's not going to run with those guys across the field.
Mike, if you're my defensive coordinator and Ed is the offensive coordinator for the other team, and he schemed something in putting me at in harm's way, isn't it your job to play chess with him and get me back where I need to be?
Yeah. I mean,
it's chess, not checkers.
Did you remember the one where they ran the pick and he got picked? That's on Roquan, because you got to see that. You got to know that's coming. But some of those other plays out in the flat, there's no one there. There's nobody there. That's a scheme problem. I mean, if you get beat, that's fine, but you can't just let them run down the field and kind of just slowly walk into the end zone. That's a scheme problem.
I had to listen to the radio broadcast. I left basketball practice and went to watch with my buddy. So it was like 20 minutes I had to listen to the radio broadcast. And in those 20 minutes, I heard Rod Woodson say three times, though, the Ravens had to stop running past Baker Mayfield. That's why he was able to step up and find so many lanes. I think that's also a scheme problem. You know what I mean? If you're not containing and you're running past him, then what was the game plan going into this? You know, and I heard Woodson in those 20 minutes, I heard Woodson say at least three or four times, they've got to stop running past them. A quarterback like Baker Mayfield can step up in that pocket and maybe give you second thoughts of whether he's going to run, going to throw, and that was a problem. And we didn't see that adjustment last night.
I thought they did it in the second half.
Okay.
But they didn't do it in the first half.
Okay.
You know, where he would get out and then just dump it. That can't happen. But in the second half, they started collapsing the pocket a little bit more. But they had the big lead, and everybody's like, you're not going to run the ball anymore, right? So let's just go and fetch the quarterback, and that's what they did.
Let's go to AJ in Baltimore. What's up, AJ?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I like the win by the Ravens, and it was a historic night. You had Mark Andrews passing to our Heat. You had Evans getting his 100th touchdown. But hate to be a Richard halfway in as of yesterday, because Jeremy was absolutely right. They came down off their high, and they tried to have that emotional win for their part of the country, whatever, for the hurricane stuff, and they wound up losing two good players last night. So that was the ugly part of the game. But
you think that's because they were on emotional high?
They were trying to use their emotion for the hurricane stuff, and they wound up.
That's why Godwin
trying to pull him through again. Baker trying to pull him through again at the end of the game.
Well, see, let's stop for a second. Yeah. When Mike Evans got injured, he went into the game with a hamstring issue. On the first touchdown, he was on the sidelines, wincing because of the hamstring. He came into the game with a hamstring issue, so that had nothing to do with doing too much. Now, at the end of the game, I think the emotions of all of that was probably led to that 10-0 lead. At the end of the game, stupidity. You probably should have stopped throwing the football, but I don't know if still then you got in your mind, let's play up for the hurricane victims. Not in the fourth quarter.
Look, they scored 21 points. They're still trying to win the game.
Yeah.
If you listen to, you know, the post-game press conference with Bowles, he's like, we're 10 points behind. We're going to try to score again, onside kick it again. That's what he said.
My question to Bowles would be this, though. The last touchdown, next to the last touchdown you score before the onside kick, you're down 17. An extra point makes it down 16. Two-score game. Why are you trying to go for two to make it a 15-point game? Because if you miss, now it's a three-score game. Now, you failed on the two-point conversion. So now when you recover the onside kick, Mike, instead of knowing in your mind it's a two-possession game, it's still a three-score game. I did not understand that two-point conversion at all.
No, it didn't make a lot of sense. Even at the time that it happened, it's just like, whoa. But, you know, I heard a guy the other day said, you do this early so when you get later in the game, you can figure out the points and so forth. And I'm like, no.
It was later in the game.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That's what he said. And I'm like, no, this is just all about common sense.
Yes.
That's what it boils down to. I don't want to hear all of this analytics stuff early. It's common sense.
The math wasn't mathing.
No.
It wasn't.
No.
If I've missed this two-point conversion, it's a three-score game. If I kick the extra point, it's a two-score game. That's simple.
I know.
Kick the extra point.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there scratching. Why they line it up? I'm like, why are they doing this?
However, none of this is the reason those two players got hurt.
Oh, no.
Which goes back to that phone call.
We moved on from that. Bite me at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, the AFC North Report up next on The Fan.
AFC North Report.
One time for the city.
The Browns.
My city.
Get up on the land.
Yeah, obviously I believe in Deshaun, but I also think it's important just to acknowledge that he just had a bad injury and you know, a bad break for him. And we're feeling bad for him and know that he'll bounce back, but not getting into all those things down the road. I'm looking forward to him getting the surgery and obviously getting his body back.
So the question that was asked of Kevin Stefanski is he committed to Deshaun Watson once he gets healthy? So the man just tore his Achilles. And let's just keep piling on. So now you're going to ask the coach, who doesn't even know when he's coming back,
how about that?
If he's committed to him when he comes back. Mike Preston, you're a columnist. You ask a lot of questions. You've been but I don't understand that question.
You don't ask that question. It's irrelevant at the time. I mean, the guy just had the injury.
He hadn't had the surgery yet.
Yeah, just move on. Just like, you know, he's not going to come back this year. It's over. So don't worry about it. Just move on. Because if you do that, you show a lack of respect to the player, to the coach. And they really don't want to answer that at the time either. But, hey, it's Cleveland. It happens.
It's just dumb, man. I'm like, what are you talking about? He don't even know. Number one, Kevin Stefanski at 1-6 doesn't know whether he's going to be here when he's healthy again.
Not given the history of that team. I mean, they're having a bad year. They pull the trigger on people almost immediately there. They're revolving door coaches and quarterbacks. So, yeah, he may not be there.
Man, now the team that the Browns lost to are their cross-state rivals. And let's look at the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals.
Who they think they're going to be?
Ed Norris, the Bengals 3-4 on the year with a win versus those Cleveland Browns. Are they back in the race in the division?
I don't think so. They're certainly not out of it statistically at 3-4, but they're not a very good team. Their defense just is not very good. I mean, they can still put up points. They didn't do it this game against a bad Browns team. They did it against the Ravens, though. They put up a lot of points against this team, and the Ravens had to pull out in overtime. So they can still score. They got great receivers there. And then Joe Burrow, of course. But yeah, the defense gives up 353 yards a game. It's the bottom third of the league. And granted, it's amazing to Mike's point before about how people just don't play defense anymore. And I'm starting to really buy into this because the more I look at this, some of the best teams in the league aren't playing much defense. Because you know who gives up two more yards per game than the Bengals? The Ravens. So... Guess it doesn't matter. It's like, nope. Doesn't matter.
To your point about them getting back in it, being two games behind both the Ravens and the Steelers, Ed, with three games left with those two teams, they'd have to go 3-0 and hope one of those teams hiccups again along the way.
Yeah, I just don't see it watching them. I mean, the Browns, they should have beaten the Browns. I'm surprised the game was only one score game.
Yep.
Frankly.
It tells you something, doesn't it, Mike?
Yep. I was surprised by that, too.
Now time to take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers.
Your boldest decisions to go with three. And you know I'm a Pittsburgh guy from East Liberty.
That's why I'm well compensated. Thank you.
That was Brandon Marshall asking Mike Tomlin,
Mr. Compensation,
about going with Russell Wilson. Mike, your thoughts?
Russell Wilson, man, you can say whatever you want. I mean, and he reminds me of Joe Flacco a little bit because he has no conscience. He just throws it up sometimes. Hey, but he was 16 of 29 for 264 yards and two touchdowns. And they beat up on the Jets 37-15, outscored him 24-0 in the second half. And Pickens, the guy who was catching all of those chuck-em-ups, 5 catches for 111 yards, 22-point yard average. Najee Harris. And this guy's starting to pick it up a little bit here.
Najee?
Yes, sir.
I agree, man. I was beginning to wonder about him, but this year he's looking good.
Yeah, man. He's starting to come on. 21 carries, 102 yards, 4.9-yard average. Steelers are for real. I mean, they're not great, and I would not mistake their offense for the Ravens, but they play good defense. They have a running game. Still not sure about their quarterback situation, but hey, they're 5-2. They are exactly where they need to be, in first place or tied for first place with the Ravens.
Mike, would you agree that with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the sum is greater than the parts? And Mike Preston has a way, I mean, Mike Tomlin has a way of getting that out of his team so often.
He always does. Always does. I mean, every year we keep talking about they're not going to make the playoffs, And who gets to the playoffs? Steelers. And they haven't had a good quarterback for quite a while. And they're still winning with quarterbacks that are questionable, but still, they get it done. Because the trademark is defense in a running game. Kind of reminds you of the way the Ravens used to be. But not anymore. But still, they got the mojo working.
Steelers only give up 14 points a game.
Yeah. They're good.
They're good.
Let's go to Baltimore and get John. What's up, John?
Yeah, I'm calling wondering why in God's name did the Ravens bring back Dean Pease? That makes no sense because that prevent is now back in effect, which it's too much of a coincidence. And on top of that, no one held that guy accountable for the fact that he left Dodge by claiming retirement, and all of a sudden the next season he was back as a coordinator for someone else. That was some chicken-hearted kind of crap that, like, kind of stewed with me. And I don't know why they brought him back. Because I do it wrong. Orr is still pretty much a spring chicken in regards to being a coordinator, and I get that. But to have someone that is so reluctant to switch from a prevent kind of defense, and I'm just waiting. If they're going to keep with him, I'm just wondering if they're going to go through the whole Rolodex of secondary by trying to claim more and more people secondary when the bottom line is you're not putting pressure, and that prevent is it leaves that those people out in the backfield out to dry.
Hey, John, thanks a lot, my friend. He didn't mince words. Chicken-hearted kind of crap.
I would never call Dean Pease chicken-hearted. And here's a guy who's it doesn't come easy to give up coaching, folks. Regardless of what level it is, I mean, you work with players. That's kind of like how you do your business. You develop relationships. It's not easy to walk away. It's like
it's not true, easy to Mike. I walked away from it a year and a half ago.
But you're back
for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
That happened.
It wasn't hard to walk away. It's hard to stay away.
So I mean, I understand that. I see that, and I don't have a problem with them bringing Dean Pease back to help with this defense, because the same problems that you saw in the first game against Kansas City, you're still seeing right now. So if you're going to put your finger on it and say, I don't know why they brought Dean Pease back.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Can I just raise my, excuse me, teacher? John Harbaugh played in the secondary for Miami of Ohio. You know who the secondary coach was? Dean Pease.
Dean Pease.
At the time. Yeah. That's why he's back.
Yeah. So I get
this
it.
Is how, I mean, if you look at the history, that's how we got.
All of the family?
It's always in the family. It's always part of the family. That's how we got Cam Cameron, because he was in Indiana. And like, they took care of their John had been there. They like their people. They like the people that they've known.
And that's the way it is throughout
most jobs.
Yeah,
most careers. Yeah.
I mean, it's coaching. That's what they do.
We go around the NFL at 9:15 to pick out MVPs. But on the other side, we'll hear from Coach Harbaugh. Bite me up next on The Fan.